her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing.
Not only is it Friday, which is, you know, reason to celebrate in and of itself, but we have very, very big, relevant news here on Jen, Gabe, and Shoes. Oh, geez. Augie from Fredonia already knows what it is. He just jumped on the Carbless Talking text line. The breaking news, of course, is, guys, and this is not a drill, Buc-ee's is coming to Wisconsin.
Not just Wisconsin, the Milwaukee area.
Bleepin' Creek. And I believe it has been noted, it is on record, we are the show of note that supports Buc-ee's. We are the Buc-ee's number one show in the city of Milwaukee. Okay. Just crowning ourselves. Yeah, look at that. I just knighted us.
I didn't realize anybody else was going for the title, but yeah, we've got it. Anybody wants to come for it, you know, bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. We'll fight you for it. Chewy, when we told you this news yesterday, your reaction was?
Shorter drive than going to DeForest, so that is a win.
100%.
But Buc-ee's, I mean, Gabe, you've never been there. I know Jen has.
Yeah.
Is there another store where you have no intention, maybe you're just going there to get the brisket sandwich, but you walk out $200 in the hole. Am I right?
Target, but...
I was about to say, I feel like that...
Is Target the same?
Yes. Target is the go-to
it
answer
is.
Of that for,
okay.
I feel, most people.
Target is 1,000,000% the place you got to throw the blinders on, and you got to go,
yeah.
Nope, we only came here for paper plates. We are not leaving with anything more than paper plates, and you get to the self-checkout, and not only do you have paper plates, but you got Ziploc baggies, you got bagels, you got some cream cheese, you grabbed a Celsius. Again, hypothetically speaking, of course.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason that the list is this specific. This is all just things that happen to jump to the top of Jen's head.
Exactly.
But there was dissension in our household at Christmas time with the kids because Angie's one of those people that goes into Buc-ee's and comes out $300 later. But she only got one sweatshirt for one of the kids. And the other kids were pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, but weren't the kids disparaging the
one of them?
Really, the
Dylan.
Top thing, I think the thing you guys value most in your relationship,
yeah,
which is the Buc-ee's brisket sandwich. For those unaware, you guys have stated that if the other has,
yes,
a Buc-ee's brisket sandwich without the other one, that is akin to cheating on that person.
Which is why, yeah, when I went to Buc-ee's about 6 months ago, right, it was in the late summer, I brought back brisket sandwiches so that the,
yep,
esteemed panel could try them, and I brought one back for Angie as well because I knew,
yeah,
about,
yep,
your brisket sandwich arrangement.
And the deal was Dylan disparaged Buc-ee's, so he is now out of the will.
Fair. That's harsh but fair.
Again, when I said we were the show of note, Buc-ee's number one show,
Here's the thing.
Type of stuff I was talking about.
Here's the thing, okay? Buc-ee's brisket sandwich is the best in the world. But when you take it, now, Jen, you had no other option. When you take it away from Buc-ee's and eat it a half hour, hour, 2 hours, it's not as good. It's like you can go to Lombardi's Pizza in New York City, the best pizza around, and if you're taking that back to your hotel room, it loses 15 to 20% of its juice. It's not as good as if you eat it. Would you agree with that? Like, if you get a pizza delivered, your favorite pizza in Milwaukee delivered, it's not as good as right out of the oven, sitting with a glass of wine and a salad, eating it right there.
Oh, yeah, the checkered tablecloths and whatnot.
Right?
The wax dripping off.
He had to sneak the salad in there.
The wax dripping off the side of the candles, like,
yeah,
Lady and the Tramp over there, you know, sharing a piece of spaghetti.
But would you guys agree? It's just not as good.
Yeah, there's a little bit that comes off, you know, I would say.
I'd say the pizza half-life, though, lasts longer than, say, a French fry.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I would agree.
And Joshy, we're talking, you know, we were speaking from experience here, because whenever we go to Pottawatomie on Wednesdays, they kindly pack up dinner for us. And so we often get, you know, the fried chicken or the sandwiches that they offer. And when they ask for, do you want French fries to go? At the beginning, I would say yes. And now I'm like, you know, French fries just don't travel well.
Oh, they don't travel at all.
You know, and unless you're McDonald's and you've got the open container where the steam is popping off the top, but it's not trapped in the space, you think you pass on French fries to go. French fries, I think, are at the bottom of the list of things that do not, that taste fantastic where you are, but any sort of transportation,
well,
no
but
good.
even with the McDonald's fry. You got to eat those bad boys on the way home. Yeah, you wait until you get home to eat those?
Mm-hmm. Got to be the first thing.
You can't bring those back to life in an air fryer?
Ooh.
I mean,
that's a good question.
You can bring it back to life support in an air fryer, but it's just...
support.
Like, it's barely holding on.
I mean, enough for them to sign the will, but they can't.
I mean, you're kind of moving the hand for them.
They don't travel. Yeah, they don't travel.
But I agree with Joshy. I think pizza is one of the things that famously has a long shelf life. Like, I have, you know, on many occasions, enjoyed the pizza that was sitting in the box on the stovetop the next morning.
Oh, yeah. Again, but it's better when it's, and I would say not even fresh out of the oven, because you gotta give the pizza a second, because otherwise, you know, you burn the roof of your mouth with the cheese and the sauce. But yeah, there's a happy spot there where it's absolutely the best.
I've eaten pizza that stayed on the front porch when we fell asleep from ordering it late at night.
Whoa.
Do you eat it cold?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because eating pizza cold is flipping disgusting.
What?
It's gross. It's like eating spaghetti cold. No.
Way wrong. I like cold pizza. In fact, cold pizza is so popular amongst sports fans, they had a television show.
It was the name of the show.
Cold pizza for the morning show. You know, it's like so enjoyable and so identifiable. Okay, so Bucky's is coming to Oak Creek. How many shows should we do from Bucky's? This is what I want to get to. Once they break ground, once they open, we should be there once a month?
I mean, clearly we'll be there for the first 2 weeks.
100%.
First 2 weeks, we're just there. We're posted up. They'll probably have a spot for us.
Get the camper out in the lot.
And then after that, what? Probably once every other week, twice a month?
Probably just leave the mobile station there.
Yeah,
you know what? That's up for the golf tournament. Just leave it there.
Again, big old galaxy brain. He's thinking ahead again.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. And I think there are people out there who think that we are talking it up too much, that we are inflating Bucky's. This is why I want people in Wisconsin and in Illinois, by the way, because of where they're putting it. You know, I got a lot of friends down in Illinois who kick up to Oak Creek to go to the IKEA that's there.
Sure.
You know they're going to make a stop at the Bucky's. So they're hitting both the state's audiences for sure. I want people to experience it so that I can say, see, we told you. Like, it's fantastic.
I'm really curious to see what it's like in person. Because again, like when you brought the brisket sandwich back, I mean, that was a little less than 24 hours after you purchased it. You had a cooler for it. Like, you thought ahead so you could have it last, because it is still at the end of the day a brisket sandwich. And that was really good, just cold. Like, I cannot wait to experience, like Chewy said, walking into this Bucky's in early 2027, grabbing the brisket sandwich, and walking out and stuffing my face immediately.
It's going to be great. We should definitely capture it on social media. My question to you guys is this. Are there a lot of things out there that are overhyped? Chewy, you were mentioning there's some festival going on down by you in Florida this weekend.
Gasparilla,
right. Samsonite, I was way off. And you said that it's overrated. Like, people think it's going to be better than it is?
Yeah, the locals aren't real big on it. It's kind of like New Year's Eve. It's just like, I mean, you're truly big partiers. Don't really celebrate it. It might be a little out of spite. That's how Gasparilla is here, because so many people come in from out of town. It's kind of like, all right, have your little festival and then get the hell out of here.
How long does this festival last?
One day. But it's a tank fest.
One day people enjoying your town.
You know what it is? It's a little try hard. You know what I mean? Try hardish.
No.
You dress up as a pirate. Like, come on.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
You dress up like a pirate? Yeah. That seems like it would be right up your alley, Halloween guy.
No. I'm not big on costumes. I don't need costumes.
You are.
It's just...
Wait. You can't tell me that you're not big on costumes when, like, you have come up with the most elaborate costumes over the past decade. Like, you have worn better costumes in the last 3 years than I did when I was a kid.
Yeah. That's an official day. This would be like John the Baptist trying to have a Christmas. It just doesn't work.
No, that didn't
work. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Actually, when I think about it in third dimension, actually, it does make sense.
That's all I'm saying. Look, we already have a Halloween, okay? Fine. You want to do it? Go ahead. Have your fun. You understand what I'm saying here?
Well, it seems like you're pretending not to care, but you care deeply. That's what it seems like.
I've never done it. I've been here seven years and have never went. Not one time. Well, have no interest in going. Nothing.
Why don't you just go one time to see if your current opinion about it, which is uneducated, it appears, is accurate?
Yeah, but Jen, this is a new level of drunk on how drunk they get. You know?
It's bad.
But you've been?
No, I have friends that have gone many times, and some of them barely made it home. Some of them had to spend nights somewhere they didn't initially plan to.
Jail? Yes.
Yeah, that'd be one.
That's one of them.
It's akin to, like, I see Gabe wearing a Marquette Day. If you're not a Marquette student, National Marquette Day down in Milwaukee, the locals don't love it.
National Marquette Day.
It's a tank fest.
Being a night game this year, I feel, is dangerous.
Yes. It's going to be all day, all night, everywhere you go. It's like also like SantaCon. That was a thing that happened in New York City when I was there. Terrible. Hated it.
Oh,
people everywhere. Any sort of bar crawl, if you're trying to do something, I don't want to be around that.
Yeah, Chewy. So Maria, who used to be a producer here, now works for the Chicago Cubs. I don't know if she still does it, but on National Marquette Day, had a they called it the Marquette Masters bar crawl before you went to the game. I did it one time. It is dangerous. It is not for the faint of heart. It is.
It's like one day Mardi Gras. That's what it is. Have you guys been to Mardi Gras? I mean, where people just get tanked. That's what it is.
That's what the Gasparilla is?
I mean, if I'm going to be annoying, I want to do it in my house.
Or on the radio.
Technically, he's still in his house.
Fair.
So my thing about it is Mardi Gras is at least a multiple day festival. And it sounds to me like your frustration is that you're taking multiple days of, you know, frivolity and drunkenness and jamming it into 24 hours. And maybe that's part of the reason why it is not your cup of tea. Nick weighing in on the Carbless Talk and text line 800-990-3776. He says, Gasparilla sounds like New Year's Eve, which is amateur hour. Fair or unfair?
Yes, fair.
All right. And then
but the thing with Gasparilla, it starts. Like Dyson's doing it down here with all his buddies and stuff. And they start at 8:30 in the morning.
Huh. Well, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
And honestly, I honestly was thinking that was going to be, you know, 6:37, 8:30. Okay, starting a little late.
In the morning?
How early do you think those kids on College Game Day start drinking? Yeah. 11:30 the night before. Cedarburg Strawberry Fest is overrated, says Jason in the 801. He says way too many people. And maybe that's it as well for Gasparilla. Maybe it's outgrown its space and now it feels, you know, intimidating and causes anxiety. We got to get to Jason Wilde. We've got him next talking about the Green Bay Packers. Did you guys see this proposal for Max Crosby to the Packers? It is to the Packers, right? Or is it just, this is the package that it's to the Packers? Josh is nodding his head up and down behind the glass. We will talk to Jason Wilde about that and more right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
X-Golf, located at American Family Field, is open all year round. You'll find me out there on occasion getting my swings in, working on my game, maybe playing around. But what's unique about X-Golf at American Family Field is the location. It's inside the ballpark, overlooking left field. Just an awesome thing that you can kind of go in there, see what's going on in the ballpark, get your swings in. But they also have a great bar, great full menu. I just earlier this week had the club sandwich. Can't recommend that enough, along with the burger pizza. A lot of great options at X-Golf at American Family Field. So if you're looking to book an event or you just want to get your swings in, learn more about X-Golf at xgolfamfamfield.com.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that This guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
I'm rattled.
Rattled? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do tell.
I fell back to sleep after my alarm went off at 6:30, which I know is absurd for you guys because you get up way earlier. And I had a nightmare that we were doing a live broadcast from Boucher Nissan in Greenfield, where I got a couple of buddies that always take care of me. And, like, everything was going wrong. Like, I had completely mismanaged the clock, which, of course, I mean, that is par for the course.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm still waiting for the nightmare part.
But like, technical difficulties, everything. And I woke up, and it took me a second to realize that had not, in fact, happened. So, and then the phone rang, and it was Joshy, like, you know, 20 seconds ago. So I'm trying to get my bearings, but that did not occur. I'm on a very well-run, well-produced, entertaining morning program, and Wilde and Tausch is not going anywhere. I'm going to be at home, and Homer is going to be our cousin sub of the day. I seriously, like, I'm trying to, like, get my bearings, and Stella's looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with you, Dad? So I'm ready, but it's going to take me a second to get my bearings.
Am I up?
Yeah, always.
Hi, Jason.
Outstanding segue, Chew. Great to
Well, you jinxed us. You said, well run, well produced. And I was going, oh, no. No, don't
Jason,
put that on us.
Jason, T. Higgins is not coming to the Packers because I'm in Gabe's camp. The least Cincinnati's going to do is franchise him and then trade him, and then you got to pay him. That's kind of a double whammy, so that isn't happening. But I'm looking at the free agent market, and there's really nothing. You tell
Black.
Me if anyone. I mean, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins, Marquise Brown. Anybody? Does anybody on that list other than T. Higgins excite you?
No, not at all. And I was going through Pro Football Focus had its top 100. That it posted, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago, and I was reading it, and it is not a robust free agent market. Now, there are some trade possibilities, obviously, and I know you guys were talking a little bit about Max Crosby and that idea, which, you know, I know this. There are two former Raiders on this roster, including Josh Jacobs, who flat out said after the loss to the Eagles that he is going to be recruiting guys. And Max Crosby would certainly be a logical one, right? Now, there are some rumblings, too. I can't remember who I saw this from, one of the Cowboys reporters, I think, that Rich Bisaccia now might be a candidate in Dallas for the head coaching job, where he was the special teams coordinator for quite a while. But there's another Raiders connection, and there are two ex-Raiders that both played with Josh Jacobs that are either getting traded or released. It would be Devontae Adams and Max Crosby. I would be okay if this was Las Vegas East, if those two players were on this roster and it didn't cost a fortune. Now, here's the problem, and I know I've talked about this multiple times, but go back and listen to Goody. When he is asked about the idea of trading a high pick, which again was not defined, so I don't know if it was a first rounder or, you know, what's the suggested trade from the 33rd team, a second and a third for Crosby in separate drafts?
Yes.
I don't know if that's a price tag in terms of trade compensation that Goody would be willing to part with. Obviously, they made some pretty darn good picks in the last 3 years, so I think he cherishes his draft picks more than ever. But Goody's big point, and he's right, is that if you're going to do that, you better be right. Because if you're not, not only have you given up the draft capital, but you have also taken on a much more expensive contract than you would with the players that you would draft in those positions. Now, he didn't rule out that he would never do something like that, but he did not leave a strong impression that that is something that he would be willing to do. So maybe he's being coy. I personally think they have to do something in terms of their pass rush. They just don't have enough. Even by firing their defensive line coach, even if the next guy, you know, gets Rashawn Gary's conversion to 4-3 end, which he was at Michigan. So I feel like that's a little excuse-making-y that he just struggled to make the conversion last year or this past season.
Especially after he was the star of training camp. Had no issue, no questions about converting when he was beating everybody one-on-one in training camp.
You're right, yeah. And Goody did mention that, actually, that he was surprised by how much they struggled to generate a pass rush up front, given the way the start of training camp went. So, again, I don't like it. Chewy, I'm with you. I don't see anybody on that free agent list where I'm like, ooh, now that'd be a good guy to get. Mm-hmm. But again, in fairness, like I knew of Xavier McKinney. I certainly didn't know he was going to be as good as he was. Obviously, we all knew who Josh Jacobs was. But like I always use this as an example. I didn't know who Za'Darius Smith was, and maybe that makes me bad at my job. But I obviously did all the research once there were reports that they were courting him in 2019. But the guy, I think his career high had been 8.5 sacks. He wasn't a full-time player for the Ravens. And those are the kinds of guys that Goody wants to sign, are ascending players who are coming off the final fourth year of their non-first-round pick rookie deal, and he thinks have the best football ahead of them. And there's no doubt that that was the case with McKinney, and until he became a malcontent, there's no question that was the case with Za'Darius. So those are the types of players that Goody would be looking for in free agency. And I just don't think he's going to be real fired up to give up multiple picks to get a player that also comes with a high contract. But maybe there's that one exception that he's willing to do, and maybe that is Max Crosby.
So, Jason, if the free agent list isn't that appealing, does that potentially, because they are going to have some money to spend, does that increase the likelihood that they bring Josh Myers back?
Well, that's a good question. I wrote about him for today. I don't think that the offensive line, I think those are independent. And I think when I look at where they're at, I think they really liked how Josh played in his final season. He revealed at the end of the season that he also played since the 49ers game with a torn pec, which... Chewy, I know you had a lot of injuries. How he played with a torn pec, the position of center, for six games and then the playoff game is absurd. And then obviously he suffered the leg injury at the end of the Philly game. Look, I think you can do a lot worse at center than him, but I think he's going to get the John Runyon treatment. Hey, you're good enough for us to re-sign you, but we're not going to do it. Thank you for your service, and enjoy your lucrative contract from someone else. If I'm wrong, Josh has become one of my guys that I go to in the locker room. I think he's become a guy that he's definitely not like Frank Chu, but he's kind of that offensive lineman that. And I don't want to compare him to Tausch because they got two different personalities, but he's not a guy that is super rah-rah or is going to yell at guys. He's more that kind of steady leadership guy, and you need guys like that too. And so I do think he really showed his value this season and played his best football. But if you can move Elton Jenkins or you can make Jacob Monk a starter, you already have Jordan Morgan, who can take over one of the guard spots. they're surely going to draft two or even three offensive linemen, because that's what they seem to always do now after a couple of drafts where Goody didn't pick any of them. I don't think having extra money because there's not a robust free agent market from the outside to sign into your team is necessarily going to change where they're at on Josh Myers. But I hope you're right, Gabe.
Jason, for all the talent on this Packers team, no finalists for the Packers across the 8 AP NFL awards this season. Did that surprise you?
No. I mean, look, they weren't that good, right? I mean, they were good, but they weren't like, who are their players other than Josh Jacobs and other than Xavier McKinney? Like, the one that surprised me was Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Edgerrin Cooper.
The late push by Edgerrin Cooper would have gotten him on the list, but I'm going to be honest, like, I didn't know what kind of season Jared Verse was having until, you know, I watched their playoff game in the snow, right? So, I think they do have, you're right, Jen, they have some good young talent on this team. A year ago at this time, their quarterback was coming off of an incredible hot streak, and we were talking about how Jordan Love was going to be in the MVP conversation this year. That did not occur either. So I keep thinking about this, that what a critical offseason and critical season 2025 are going to be. Like, and I think it's partially fueled by the fact that we were all, myself included, I was swept up in it, in Love-a-mania, and oh my God, this young team that was supposed to be rebuilding and was sitting at 3-6, you know, won six of their last eight, then won a playoff game in convincing fashion, and had the 49ers after three quarters right where they wanted them. Like, the feeling we had at this time last year after the season ended, compared to the feeling we have about this team now, it's not quite night and day, but it certainly is very far separated on the spectrum. And this offseason, they have some obvious holes that they need to fill, certainly through the draft, maybe through free agency or trades. And then they've got a bunch of guys facing critical, this guy needs to make a jump, years. Plus, I think the coach is on a little bit. He's not on the hot seat. I think he's more on a, hey, now you've survived 2 years with the youngest roster. Goody made the comment about this team being ready to compete for championships. What are you going to do to get the offense looking more like it did before, but with Josh Jacobs involved? Like, I just feel like it's such a pivotal offseason and pivotal season ahead that I'm really curious to see how much all these guys from the coaching staff and the GM on down to the players elevate.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch each and every day after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Got to get to Craig Karmazin. He is coming up next. I want to ask Craig about the Max Crosby thing. Do you think Craig will also weigh in on the Ben Johnson thing, especially after the Peter Schrager revelation yesterday that they don't know each other? Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur have no relationship whatsoever. Does that change anyone's opinion on the Ben Johnson comments where he called out Matt LaFleur? We'll dive into that with Craig Karmazin after this.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, only one place you need to go. Of course, that's the Jewelry Center. It's going to be your first stop. It's going to be your last stop. Whether it's naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center always going to have options for you. And the great thing about the Jewelry Center is if you don't have an idea of what that ring is supposed to look like, what you want it to look like, what she wants it to look like, well, if she has a Pinterest board or ideas, bring those to the Jewelry Center, and the helpful team of experts is going to take your ideas from dream to reality. So learn more about the engagement ring selection or any of the other services. Great stopping there for gifts if you already are married the way that Chewy does. ShopTJC.com is the website, or stop in today, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. And when you head to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chewy sent you.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won an championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
twice in 1 week for me to see/chat with Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody.
And that puts me just about 19 behind these guys who talk to you every Friday during the college football season to catch up. I want to start with the Max Crosby proposal. The 33rd team put out there that the Packers could trade a 2025 second round pick and a 2026 third round pick for Max Crosby. That seems like a good deal for the Green Bay Packers. Let's just start with this. Would you make that trade today for Max Crosby?
Yes.
Okay. In a rational, logical world, do you think that will happen?
I don't think so, but I never understand in football, in the NFL specifically, I feel like draft picks get so overvalued, like the potential and all that versus actual production. And I know Crosby's coming off an injury, but, and I know you have to pay him, but the Packers have salary cap room. I mean, if that, and the 33rd team there, they know what they're talking about. If that's legitimate, like, of course you do that deal.
Yeah, it's not happening for that, though. Not with Tom Brady. It sounds to me like they gave Tom Brady the reins to hire the new coach. He obviously had influence in the GM because that GM came from Tampa Bay. And Brady ain't going to let this go for a second and a third. You're insane.
But maybe if they're saying,
would you do it for
like,
a first,
hey,
Craig? Would you do it for a first and a third?
I mean, I would do it for a first and a third because you're not going to get someone that good with the, you know, with a non-top 10 draft pick, right? So, like, yes, I would do it.
What's more important to you, getting a number one receiver or getting a stud D end?
Stud D end. So much more important. I mean, with, you know, if you believe in Jordan Love, which I do, and so I believe a stud D end with the rest of the Packers defense, which already to me was much better than I think y'all thought it was, I think that puts them in really good position.
Craig, would you say that Jordan Love, I don't know about if hit the ceiling is the correct terminology, but he can only go so far with the receivers he has right now?
No. I mean, I know it's not his second year. It was his fifth year and all that. But he's going to get better. He's smart. He's going to figure things out. They're going to figure out different things scheme-wise, like, the league caught up to him a little bit this year, but he's going to be good. Like, every quarterback's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, but he's going to be really good.
Yeah, but I guess I would push back, Craig, when you take a look at these final four teams, three out of the four have studs. The only one that doesn't is Buffalo, and that means you have to be Josh Allen. If you want to make it without a stud receiver.
He's saying receivers.
Oh, stud receivers.
Stud receivers.
Yeah, because okay. I thought he was saying Josh Allen, which I kind of welcome, isn't a stud.
I
thought that's what
Travis
he was saying.
No, Josh Allen is a stud, he's lifting everybody else around
Gabe
him.
And Gabe is saying pass catcher, so don't get caught up
in the giving
nuance.
Me Travis Kelce as a stud?
You mean the guy who has the most receiving yards and receptions in NFL playoff history, who just had over 100 yards this last week? Yeah, that guy's a stud.
Yeah, Kevin
Gabe. I don't know if you could count him as one right now.
You not have eyes? Did you not watch the game last week?
I'm thinking,
no, he's taking shots at tight ends.
Look at his season.
Yeah, I don't care.
Look at his
Craig, that's the one team. That's the one team. I don't care what happens in the regular season. When the postseason comes around, Travis Kelce's washed. And then he goes and just dominates a game. Like, they only care about the postseason. They go through the motions in the regular season.
I mean, they went 15-2 without him, you know, contributing in a major way, right?
Sure.
I mean,
okay, then,
I don't know.
Okay,
that
then
he
you
was
have to be Patrick. Then you have to be Patrick Mahomes. If you want to take that away, then fine. Then you have to be Patrick Mahomes.
No, you need to have a great defense. I mean, they had a defense this year. I mean, that's what the Chiefs are. The Chiefs' defense carried them more than their offense. Like, you could be thinking this is a team from 4 or 5 years ago, but it's not. I mean, this is a really balanced team that for the last 3 years, the Kansas City Chiefs' defense has been better than the offense. But when you have a brilliant, smart quarterback who knows how to, and a timely quarterback who can make the big plays in the big moments, that's when you win.
Yeah, okay. So in order to not have a stud and make it to the NFC Championship game, you have to be Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. And Jordan Love's not that yet.
He's not that yet. I agree with that. And you can play the results on this year, but I think we've seen historically wide receivers who are number ones are not correlated with championships, right? Like, look at who are the best receivers in the last 15, 20 years, and most of them are not racking up Super Bowl championships.
Sure, like Randy Moss didn't win a championship, but there are teams that have really good wide receivers that win or really good pass catchers that win. Like, Mike Evans is a really good guy. That's a Hall of Fame player. He won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
Right, but he didn't win a Super Bowl. He didn't win a Super Bowl in all the years without Tom Brady. You could look at this year. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase dominated the NFL, and they didn't make the postseason.
Yeah, I don't think you need the top guy, but you need a guy. You can't just have a collection of twos, more than likely threes. You have to be better there.
I don't think that's true. I mean, you can play the results on this year.
And don't discount Andy Reid. I mean, Matt LaFleur's a good coach, but there is a large gap between Matt LaFleur and Andy Reid.
I mean, I'm not playing the results on just this year. If you take a look at the teams that have done that, they've had guys that are going to catch balls. I mean, it's just not the no-name wide receiving and pass-catching cores that are going out there. I mean, the Eagles were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Yeah, they lost with A.J. Brown. Obviously, I mean, the Chiefs have been there forever. The Bengals made it there with Ja'Marr Chase not that long ago. Elsewhere in the NFL, we brought up Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Like, if you go over the last 5-6 years, if you actually go over it, those teams have, hey, it's 3rd and 6. Who do I go to?
Well, and that's the thing. I think you got to look at the Aaron Rodgers years, whether here or in New York, and say Aaron Rodgers, by all accounts, is one of the best guys at being able to read a defense, see what they're doing pre-snap, see what they're doing post-snap, knowing what the best option is, being able to go through his progressions, and yet he still wanted to have a Devontae Adams sort of safety valve for when everything else broke down, he could still move the chains, right? And he wanted that in Green Bay, and then he obviously wanted that option in New York. Now, you could argue that his skill and his talent regressed, and he wasn't able to make the plays at the consistency that he had previously in his career, but even he recognized the value. And of course, that's probably part of the bashing of the heads between him and Goody for all of those years. But he recognized the value of having somebody who could get him over the hump.
And Jordan Love said it in the middle of the season. Hey, the job of the receivers is to get open. Get open for me. And they didn't.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it wouldn't be great to have a number one. Like, that's great. I'm just saying, I think Max Crosby, if you brought him in, I mean, that changes the defense in such a major way. That makes everyone else's job so much easier. And I think it's a slightly bigger impact than that number one receiver would have.
Is the only reason that teams don't do, this is an apples to oranges analogy, but stay with me for it. You know, there's been a lot of talk in Major League Baseball about what the Dodgers are doing, right? Which is like spend, 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 bring in all the pieces. They basically are trying to buy a championship. Why don't teams do that in the NFL more? Is it because they don't want to borrow from the future for the now? Is it like, you know what I mean? Like, we had talked about how the Saints, I think, Gabe, were a team that tried to do it a few years back where they tried to buy.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a little surprising.
Well, the Rams, I feel like the Rams did it and actually won,
and
right?
And actually won a Super Bowl, yeah. It surprises me sometimes that when you have all of these, and I know it's not fantasy football. It's not like when I'm trying to put together a fantasy football roster, but it does surprise me sometimes when teams just don't go all out. There you go. I think you can say all out on the radio.
Bees to the dubs.
That works too, Joshy. Thank you. And just go out and pluck these guys and be like, we'll figure the finances out down the road later.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Rams did it. And if you think about it, I feel like they took like 1 year like of dealing with the consequences and then have gotten back to being young and competitive pretty quickly. I agree. And I know there's salary cap, but it seems like the NFL salary cap doesn't mess with you too much. Like, I don't know. It seems teams who get in trouble with it usually dig out pretty quickly outside of the Saints, which yeah. I know have struggled
the Saints
with
are the only team that have not figured out.
Eighth year running.
Like every year. Well, somehow the Saints are, you know, $50 million over the cap. They got to shed salary. Like, how does this happen every year with that team? But again, I go back to, I think the only team in recent memory that didn't have a stud as a pass catcher would be the Eagles back in 2017. Like everybody else, they've got really good pass catchers, and the Packers aren't up to that level. I don't think everybody's got a stud pass rusher. I think everybody to a team.
And we know that Jaden Reed isn't that, and it's just not that the Packers mix the ball around so much that he couldn't be if they went to him more.
Said he's not good against man. Can't get open against man. That's the knock on the street, which would make sense. You know.
Yeah.
And if you can't beat man, it's tough to be a stud.
But if you look right. at if you look at Belichick and Andy Reid, because Andy Reid, I believe by the time he retires, is going to be mentioned in the same breath as Belichick. It's kind of the same stud tight end. I mean, I know they had that 1 year with Randy Moss, but receivers are meh, running backs meh, you know. That just shows you what an elite coach can do with a team.
But again, two of the best tight ends in NFL history with Gronk and Kelce.
Well, yes, that's what I'm saying. You know?
Like, there was a Super Bowl where literally the Patriots ran the same play like four times in a row to Gronk. They just kept running it.
Right, and Gronk wasn't there the whole time with Brady.
No, but so during the recent run, in the more recent
runs. There was an era of Brady championships that didn't have him, right? Like that they did with no one who you would say.
Yeah, but that was back when Chewy was playing and they had leather helmets. Like that was forever ago.
Well, yeah.
But I think that's also when you would say their defense.
I didn't rip on the tight ends.
And that's when their defense was better, right?
Hey, Chewy, if I got to take you out to make my point, I'll take you out to make my point.
Whose defense was better? We were both number ones, you mug.
No, I'm saying the Patriots were better than the Patriots offense at that point. But
yes.
I think now, I think we've seen, like, no matter how good your defense is, you need to be able to really put up points in today's NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think you can win like by having like Trent Dilfer as your quarterback and an amazing defense. I don't think that works.
Yeah, the Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson era of quarterbacks winning is definitely over. I would agree with that.
Last thing, Craig, before we let you go, what did you think of the comments by Ben Johnson? Did you think he was trying to take a shot at Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, but I think that's like what you do when you're the Packers coach or the Bears coach, right? Like that's the friendly rivalry. That's like what it's about. I think he has enough of a relationship with Matt LaFleur to do it. And I think he comes from a program with the Lions that had an edge to it. And I don't know if he naturally has the same kind of edge. And I think he's taken on that personality a little bit. So I think it was his way of ingratiating himself to Chicago, you know, knowing he has enough of a relationship there and showing that there's an edge to him. And I don't know. I think the division is going to be really good. I know we've talked about how the postseason wasn't, but I think those four coaches now are four really interesting coaches across the board. I know right now everyone's not in love with Matt LaFleur because of how the season ended, but I mean, you can't argue. Matt LaFleur's success has been historic in the regular season, at least, to start his Packers career. So you're really looking at, with the extension in Minnesota, four really, really interesting coaches in this division, which sets it up to be a great year next year.
Okay, that's a lot of words, but I got to take one thing you said and pick at it. Peter Schrager reported yesterday on Good Morning Football that they have no relationship, zero. So whatever menial relationship I think the fans and maybe you even assume exists does not. And I think Peter Schrager, you know, if I'm reading the tea leaves, is probably talking to Matt LaFleur. That'd be my guess. I think he probably reached out to him and said, what is this? What, you know, what happened here? And I think Matt LaFleur probably said, I don't even know the guy. We are not friends. We do not have a relationship. When you add that detail to it, I think that's when you're like, it feels a little weird.
No.
What are you knowing?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what the Packers coach should say about the Bears coach? I want to beat him twice a year, or I'd like to beat him. Like,
I mean, every Bears coach, Craig, has said that in my memory, but, like, I don't think Mike Holmgren said that. Mike Holmgren talked about winning the division and stacking successes and championships, and Matt LaFleur did not mention the Bears once in his opening press conference, but to a man, it seems like the Bears can't help themselves but have to mention the Packers in their opening presser.
And the other nuance, of course, is it's not just the Packers. He didn't mention Packers. He didn't mention Green Bay. He mentioned Matt LaFleur specifically. And I know there's going to be people out there who are like, oh, you're trying to cause drama. You're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. But I do think you have to be aware that these two men do not have a relationship. They're not pals. They didn't coach at some place together at one point. And he's kind of like, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. They do not have a relationship. And when somebody like that calls you out by name, not organization, not franchise, I think it's strange. So I'm going to keep my eye on it.
It reminds me, Jen, of the Mark Bavaro story. I think I've told it before. Gabe, you might have heard this, where Bavaro's playing in a preseason game and he's going up against this linebacker who just wouldn't
shut up. Mark Bavaro, by the way, Giants, New York Giants tight end in the day.
You shouldn't have to say that because Mark Bavaro is one of the best to ever play the game. But Bavaro's putting him on his back all day long. The guy's still talking trash. So finally, the last play, Bavaro puts him on his back, and the guy on the ground goes, "Who do you think you are?" And Bavaro says, "Nobody. That's what makes you so bad."
It's a good pop.
Which is what LaFleur should say to him. Yeah, okay. Talk to me when you're relevant, clowns.
And you've had the quarterbacks talk about owning the Bears and all that.
But
like
Bears, it's the collective. You don't see a distinction between somebody calling out a company or a brand.
The whole question was about the coaches, and he was talking about all the coaches by name.
And he was complimentary of two and not so complimentary of a third.
Yep. Which I think is what you're told when you go to Chicago that
I agree.
You need to beat the Packers. Like, that's something that has been lacking here. And so I think that's on brand, and on brand has also not been beating the Packers consistently. So I think every coach has said that's probably taken some little shot at the Packers or LaFleur. So I don't think that's a story. I think the story will be if they can actually back it up and continue the one-game winning streak that the Bears have against the Packers at this point.
Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Go Bucks.
Yep. We'll take a break. Be right back after this.
They were great last night.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN. Just let me cry a little bit longer.
We are consistent here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy about blowing up the clock. 8 o'clock, huh? It'll be tough. Yeah. 8 o'clock, and we are starting the final segment of the first hour, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Wildy and Tausch do it all the time. It's fine.
We did put it on the Jen. They have 3 hours, though, to make it up. Like, you got a lot more wiggle room on the back end here. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Cold pizza, .. Delicious? Or terrible. Chewy says cold pizza is terrible, which is such a weird take. Right now you're losing. It's about 72-27.
That's a win for him.
Thank you, Josh.
That's fair, I suppose.
Hey, if you want to get Sam and Ella, have at it.
Sam and Ella. Haven't seen them in a while, but they are back. So we will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Talk about some Packers right after this. Stick around.